This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester City putting the champagne for their title celebrations back on ice after several controversial incidents shaped the outcome of Chelsea's 2-1 victory. Manchester United nearly giving the title to City until their second half comeback again against Aston Villa. A shake-up in the top four race after losses from Leicester, West Ham and Spurs have opened the door for Liverpool following their win over Southampton, and Arsenal send West Brom to the Championship as the Baggies are officially relegated. That's what we've got coming up in today's show.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, Rob. Another weekend, more stories. Manchester City is the first game we're going to talk about, Rob. There's a ton of games, obviously, as normal. Yeah. Manchester City 1, Chelsea 2. Goals from Hakim Ziyech and Marcus Alonso late. Got all 3 points for Chelsea. Frustrations everywhere on the City bench, with Pep Guardiola going mad with a couple of decisions that maybe went against them. We'll have a chat about those. Lots of changes, though, Rob, for Man City. And I looked at the lineup and I thought, well, he expected lots of changes. And when I look at the midfield, and Ferran Torres and Raheem Sterling played alongside Rodri, very different. I didn't think they looked as grooved, particularly early on. And Chelsea, and this goes back to the squads, Rob. My main kind of thought going into this game was, the reason these two are in the Champions League final and the reason that there's no real injury issues at these two football clubs is, I would probably say, and I'll get your take on it as well, are these two clubs got the best squads in the Premier League? Of course, granted, Man United are the second best team and they've improved throughout. But I just feel like with rotations and different players coming into their teams, these two have done it really, really well. And the benefit that Chelsea had, I thought, in this particular game is that they're so grooved in the system that players that don't normally play can come in. There's fewer of them for Chelsea, and they're just more grooved in the way that they play. Where Man City, they rotate, and it's a great squad, but it's not as though the system is always the same. It's Pep's kind of philosophy to change and to tactically tweak all the time. And I just thought, of the two teams that had a few changes, Chelsea looked a little bit more comfortable in their setup, and obviously, they went on to win the game as well.
Yeah, it was interesting to see Chelsea go as a back for Man City to go as a back three, Rob, which I thought might be a precursor to Pep kind of testing out how that worked against the system of Chelsea, with maybe the two number 10s underneath a false nine. It was a different look up front for Chelsea, as you say. So it was Werner with Ziyech and Pulisic. Kai Havertz was on the bench. Mason Mount didn't start for one of the few times. I thought Chelsea's, I think you're right in terms of what I would call the depth of those two squads. I think them along with Liverpool, when they've got all their fit players, they should have an extra depth that the others don't have. It's something Manchester United is playing catch up on in terms of getting their best 11 and then the next sort of five, six players after that. I think it's something that Spurs don't have deep enough in terms of their ranks, if we're talking about the big six teams. But I liked the way Chelsea approached the game. I thought Gilmore and Kante gave Man City some problems in midfield that drew Torres and Sterling in a little bit with Rodri. And at times they were having to do a lot more defensive work than get on the ball. I'll tell you what epitomised it to me, Rob, was we have the tactical camera in the studio, and you could see Pep for the first 20, 25 minutes. All he was doing was talking to players and pulling them around and getting them going. And it was like, oh, you know, this is a bit of a test, this one for Man City. Mm. And, you know, they were having to work it out, which I thought was interesting. Thomas Tuchel has definitely taken a step forward with his group, not just in the results, but there's a bit more poise. There's a bit of like, not swagger, but there's a bit of confidence about the way they go about their business now. And I have to say, I was impressed with Chelsea. Certainly the opening stages of the game, I thought they were giving Manchester City one or two problems tactically.
I just have one player I want to talk about, Rob, a little bit for Chelsea. That's Timo Werner. Now, of course, he hasn't been as successful, I think, or as potent or as prolific as people expected, given his history and his goals record. But I've got to say, I do warm to him, Rob, because he's a menace. He's a menace. He's a difficult guy to handle and to look after. His runs, by the way, from centre to in behind defenders in the little channels, the little runs he gets in behind, he's doing it all the time. And you know, he hasn't gotten the goal numbers yet, obviously, that you'd expect. But still, you know, setting up goals again in this game, which he's done many, many times. I just think he's, I don't know, I just, you think like some of the misses, like, is he good enough for this team? And is he going to be the guy that's going to score plenty of goals? He hasn't been so far. I just wanted to give him a mention, Rob, and just sort of get your take on. He's just a difficult guy. If I was a centre back, I wouldn't want to play against him. Mm. He's offside a lot. He's frustrating. He misses some chances. He doesn't get enough goals. But there's something about him that's blimmin' annoying, and there's production there because he does create and he just gets in behind and he crosses and he made goals again in this game. It's like I'm warming to him. You know what I mean?
I do, and where I would sort of take it slightly different direction, but I think other players benefit from his runs, from his ability to stretch people, from, you know, his willingness to chase things down and maybe get mistakes. I just think he's one of those things. It's really interesting. So Tim and I were sitting there and we're talking about the front three and, you know, how it's changed and Pulisic getting a start here and, you know, having to make the most of opportunities. And Tim was sort of saying, you know, in your front three, does Werner have a role underneath, let's say, one striker and two? And I said, in some position of my three, in my best Chelsea team, Timo Werner plays. He plays in one of those positions. Yeah. And I know the goals might not come, but he's bringing more than goals to me, Rob. As you say, if I'm the Man City back, if I'm Ruben Dias and I'm John Stones, I'm not sure I just want to keep chasing this guy. And one time I go, oh, he's going to be offside anyway. And he is, and then he gets in, or he makes one of those runs and I have to go with him. I just feel like in my three, if my Chelsea team to play in a Champions League final, Timo Werner's got one of the spots.
Well, let's continue, mate, because it's a fascinating topic. Mm. And this is what Thomas Tuchel is wrestling with. Yeah. And I thought I heard you or Tim on the weekend say that Pulisic's would be in your best three.
That's it. Tim said Pulisic's in his best three. Tim said my best three for Champions League is Pulisic, Werner and Mount.
Right. So I think what most people agree on, well, maybe not most people, but I think Werner, Mount have to play. Yeah. So it's one spot and it comes between Havertz and Pulisic. And it's exactly the same as what the manager's thinking. This game from Christian Pulisic, Rob,
Havertz, for me,
is he,
Rob,
doing enough?
For me, it's Havertz has to play, Mount has to play, Werner and Pulisic are for one spot, I would say. I would go the other way. I think Havertz has to play, mate. What we see in the finishing and the touch and the you talked about his size giving him something else and the way he plays brings something else. I think it's there's one spot for grabs. Mount definitely plays. Havertz plays.
Yeah, you know what? But Werner's pace, Rob, is different.
Yeah.
It's different to everybody else. So he's got to play. So I'm back on the Havertz and Christian Pulisic. And I mean, it's so many good attacking players. I think I would go for Havertz. I think I would just because of the variety of performance he can give you. And so I, you know, it's frustrating, and some of our listeners maybe not going to want to hear that. I'm just trying to explain what the manager's seeing, and I'm kind of seeing it the same as that. Havertz, 6'2", gives you different. He can play as a nine. He can play underneath. He's got a good finishing. We see his quality. So is Christian, as Pulisic as well. It's a very tight call, but I'm not surprised or you know that Pulisic is on the bench.
Can I throw one other reason in it as well, Robin? This is part tactical, part decision, part your makeup. Christian Pulisic can come off the bench and have a bigger effect than anybody else. So that's a tactic I have as a coach. Yeah,
and he's been using it.
Yeah, if it's 0-0 and then I need him after an hour and I can chuck him in and he can win me the game, that's great play.
He did the other day.
I'm not sure Havertz comes into the game and affects it that way. Mount possibly with his runs, but it might take him a bit of thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like you can chuck Christian Pulisic on, and in 5 minutes he's stopped-started somebody, got to the byline, cut a ball cross, and
which he did in the Champions League.
That's a great tactic for me to have under my sleeve. It might not be what's great for Christian Pulisic, but as a manager, Rob, I've got to do what's best for the team.
No, I agree. Listen, Rob, let's get on to the...
Yeah.
There's some controversial challenges and decisions in this game. I think there's three of them we want to talk about here, or things happening in the match.
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling's challenge on Timo Werner in the first half. Kind of early in the game, and it kind of slipped through a little bit, and there was not much talk about it. I know that on through social media, people were getting back to me, oh, hang on a minute, Sterling shouldn't have been on there.
Yeah.
The challenge on him, Rob, we've had the benefit of seeing it many, many more times.
Mm.
I think he was a little lucky to get away with that. I think he flew in a little bit. The studs were a little high. He didn't make solid contact on the player, which probably helped him. But if a red card was given for that, I wouldn't have a problem with it, Rob. I thought it was endangering the safety of an opponent a little bit, and I thought he got away with it.
See, I wasn't as strong. It wasn't a great challenge. I thought it was just yellow with the warning. I think VAR looked at it. I thought he got enough of the ball and not quite enough of the player. I totally get that. You know, listen, if it had been in red, it would be one of those where, was it clear and obvious ever? Probably not, and red would have stood.
But same with the yellow, Rob. Yellow. It's not a clear and obvious error for a red, maybe.
So I just thought erring on the side of caution, and I didn't think there was enough contact physically with the leg, but he stood up. He was endangered the safety of an opponent, and he was a little lucky to stay on the pitch. But I think he got on one right. He did stay on the pitch. Let's go to the other big controversial point in this game. Sergio Aguero. They get the penalty kick. No doubt, I don't think with a penalty, really. Sergio Aguero gets the opportunity to score his 259th, I believe, goal for Manchester City, all-time record goal scorer. What did you think when you saw the Panenka attempt?
Well, I thought it was a little bit showboaty. I thought, you know, it's so funny this, Rob, because I remember who was it? It was Ademola Lookman
Fulham, didn't he? Yeah.
And I had a bit of a different take on it at the time. I felt because he'd scored them before, I'm like, well, if that's the way he feels, it's best way to take a penalty. We've seen Aguero do it differently many, many times. Yeah. And I thought 1-0, you know, it's his last kind of little hurrah. Is he going to get a goal that wins him the title? I thought it was a little bit cocky, showboaty. He regretted it. Obviously, he made a nice apology online, which I'm not sure whether he needed to do that, but I think that was good of him to do that. But I thought it's a bit casual, that, mate, and you're better than that. That's what I thought.
I didn't like it, I've got to be honest, Rob, and I love Sergio Aguero, and it's hard to criticise a legend who scored so many goals, yeah. but we have to be, you know, if it's a player in another team, we would. And I just thought, yeah, it didn't represent him, didn't represent the club. I've seen Pep a couple of times, once or twice. I've seen a couple of players semi-showboat, and Pep's like, doesn't want any of that. Mm. We beat teams with football. We do it a certain way. Yeah. We're not. I just thought, it was not what City are about. I'm sure it's one of those, if he could have it back again, he'd do it different. Yeah. And he smashes goals in the back of the net. He takes pleasure from doing it. I just couldn't get my head around what he was thinking to get it done. And it became costly, Rob, because Mendy reads it, they make the save, and all of a sudden, Chelsea are back in the game. And the Kurt Zouma challenge on Raheem Sterling, Rob, that wasn't given for penalty at 1-1, that had a really big bearing on the game before Alonso gets a game. The goal. What was your take on Zouma? I'll put it out there for me. I thought it was a penalty kick. I thought Zouma did what he was trying to do, is to make contact, but not as obvious as he can, to show he's not going to think, but I'm going to make enough contact that I can push up, put off Sterling, but not enough to be a penalty. And that's an art, and it's a balance. And the balance is like a little bit this way, a little bit that way. It just balanced a little bit for the penalty kick for me.
First of all, I think we have to explain the rule real quick. That a penalty is a trip, even if it's accidental. So we've all seen those. And I know that some people on social media get frustrated.
The David Lewis one. Do you remember the David Lewis for Wolves? When he's running in, he put his hand on, and the guy caught his leg accidentally.
Yeah. Well, same kind of, same one with the first penalty, really. I mean, there's a bit of stronger contact, I think, there. But even though it looks harsh, and people can say, well, he's not even made a... It doesn't matter. If you clip him, you've got to get him right out of the way. Now, as soon as I see that, I'm like... Stonewall penalty. That's absolutely a penalty. It ticks all those boxes behind. It makes one, two, maybe three contacts on the player run from behind. Yeah. I'm like, that is a penalty. Now, I'm not, I just, there's some decisions that's happened this season that I just don't understand. And I know there's a clear and obvious error part of it, but come on.
Yeah.
Officials in the Premier League and I know how hard the job is, and I don't want to be that guy, but I mean, the standard, Robin, some of these decisions, that's a clear and obvious error. He brings him down. He makes contact several times. Sterling goes over. I don't care what Zouma's trying to do. That's a penalty. And when VAR doesn't step in and it's Stuart Atwell, isn't it? I think it's like, there's no point having VAR, Rob. There's no point having it. If we're seeing decisions, there's no point having it, mate.
We're getting to the position where the first decision is becoming the only decision.
Right, so which is as it was before.
Yeah. It's the first decision. I would say less than 5% of those decisions are being changed and looked at and saying that's a clear and obvious error. I think we're going down the road of, it's not clear and obvious, because that ambiguity of clear and obvious gives you the grey area. So
Forget about it. I'll tell you what, my solution to VAR, and I've said this before, you have another official like the European ones with a little wand behind the goals, everybody hated, but just bear with me. That's another set of eyes that's right there, Rob. That's right there. Mm. And it's an instant refereeing. Like, he's right there. He isn't the referee that's 20 yards away, possibly. He's getting a great view. He spots it. I want the game refereed instantly. And I got another pair of eyes at each goal for the goal mouth incidents. And forget about VAR. We're bringing technology for the offsides. And you know, the playing on with the flag down. I mean,
I hear you and I get you, but if you do VAR right, if the VAR guy does his job, we ain't got a problem. He sees the replays, he sees the contracts, but they're not doing their job.
Yeah, it's not well, the it's VAR. The officials.
People not doing their job, and if they don't do their job, we'll be continually talking, but. Listen, mate, was it a game? It was an interesting game. Chelsea come away with a 2-1 win. And I think we talked about it prior to the games in a preview last week podcast. Mm. That's got to get into Manchester City's head a little bit, Rob.
Well, only a little bit for me, mate.
Only
a little bit. There's so many changes in both of these games that they lost.
Yeah.
Remember, no Walker, Kevin De Bruyne, I know Foden Correct. Came on, didn't he? Foden, Bernardo Silva,
Gundogan,
Mahrez, Gundogan. I mean,
Gundogan.
So this is a different animal. It's a different animal when City have got their first team, you know.
I hear you, but would I rather go into that game having lost to City twice or beaten them twice? I kind of like that, beaten them twice. I kind of like to go in. All I'd say is, and I'll take it as my mentality if I was a player, there's still doubts in Man City's head. They've got the final, and they're the big team, and the more pressure on them to win it. We go 1-0 up. We go 1-0 up against Manchester City. If I'm Chelsea, I'm thinking, we're in this.
Couldn't disagree more. Couldn't disagree more, Rob. I think the mentality is very different. We're going to put our first team out, and we're absolutely peed off with those games. I think they're fired up. I think they're angry. I think they want to show everybody they're better than Chelsea. I don't think it's in their heads. And I think, if anything, I think it fires them up even more to make sure they win that Champions League final with the first team out there. So I don't think there's anything that's doubt in their minds about how good they've been. Different team, fired up. And I think, if anything, I think it helps them.
I don't know. We've seen moments in the Champions League this season where we felt, and I think PSG was one of the games, and one of the games I think was a good game. Where, you know, this City team won it so much and won it. You can want it too much. You can try too hard. It can mean. I don't know. Yeah. It's good to differ. It's good to have a different view. I just think that Thomas Tuchel at the moment with this group of players. If I was in that camp, I'm feeling pretty good.
Although, yeah, you are.
I'd say the Christensen injury might be a blow for them. Remember, he went down with a hamstring and looks like a hamstring. We'll have to wait to hear what reports. But, I mean, he's important, Rob, in the balance in the team. It's just different with Zouma, not quite the same setup. And
Thiago, they're probably robbing it. It depends. It could bring Reece James, who's looked great when he's come on. Aspilicueta and Thiago Silva, Thiago Silva and Rudiger. It's still a good back three.
He
likes him, and Aspilicueta's a wing-back out defensively, so he might not have that option. All right, mate, let's move on to some of the other stuff that happened this weekend.
Villa 1, Manchester United 3. Typical Man United. They go away, they go a goal down, they go in the half-time, they have a chat, they put it right, they come out, they score goals, they win a game. I think it's the 10th game this season. They've been down at half time and won 9 and drawn 1. Everything okay? Just as it happens with United, I mean, I don't particularly like. I was saying to Bex, it's far better than going 1 up and losing games. So it's not a bad habit to have. I suppose it's a bit careless to concede. Maybe in time it's gonna catch you out one time. But kind of, it was interesting that Ollie said, I had a chat with him. We know what we're doing. There's a belief in the dressing room and we go and get it done.
It's funny, Rob, isn't it? It's almost like they prefer to play free. They prefer to come from behind. They prefer to put everything into 45 minutes action instead of doing it over the 90.
They
want to start off in like their control mode. They start off games pretty, and they're just not really at it as you normally expect. They go behind. Yeah. I mean, this happens so many times, Rob. There's got to be something in it, isn't it? There's got to be something in it. And when they go behind, it's like, well, okay, right, we got to get going now. And they have a little bit of a halftime rollicking maybe from the manager, and they all liven up a little bit. They give themselves a shake. They get out there and the attacking players go and do their thing, which we saw again. I mean, some of the football and some of the creativity and some of the traits you're seeing in players. Now, Mason Greenwood's goal is so typical of him, wasn't it? As soon as he's got space on that left foot, I'd say in an arc of 22 yards, he's got to be, I mean, I'm not surprised. The first thing I wrote down was like, he's done that a million times. He's such a good striker of the ball and so accurate with his finishing that you're not surprised. And then Cavani's goal, I mean, if there's a typical Edison Cavani goal, isn't that it? Like the timing, the reading of crosses, the timing of his runs, a little bit of movement if needed to get the space. And what is he, isn't his thing is like the friend in space is the friend in, is your
space
friend
in the friend in. Box,
space is your friend in the box. And he ran into space.
If you watch that goal back, and I mean, I'm not sure if we on the tactical, but from about 5 or 6 seconds before the ball comes in, he is constantly on the move.
Yeah, he's fidgeting, wasn't he?
He does a circle round, and then he gets a position, and then just as the cross coming, then he starts to make his run. I mean, it's classic textbook understanding of a penalty box, knowing and reading where to run. just in terms of the Man United piece, Rob, because obviously, you know, all intents and purposes, City are going to win the league. It looks very much like United going to be second. Finishing second, I've said for some time, I think is important. I just think when you look at the table and City win it, but you're the next team, I think it's good. I think it leads into next season. Is some of this like going behind and then coming back? Are this team almost like a better underdog, a bit more like when it's against us, right, we'll go and show? Because I'm just kind of feeling, taking it forward, to win a title, to be as good as they want to be and close the gap or even take over, haven't you got to change that mentality a little bit?
Absolutely, Rob. Absolutely. And that still is a problem for them. And I get where they are on the league table now, and that's predominantly through really good attacking players. Defensively, they still got a soft spot, and that soft spot shown up so many times where they've conceded the first goal. Chelsea, my friend, I feel right now as we sit here, are going to be a more threat than United to City next season.
Chelsea, what business is done in the summer might have an influence.
Yeah, of course.
I know what you mean. Where we are right now with the two sets of teams and the people in charge.
Since Thomas Tuchel has been manager of the football club, they are second behind Man City by 3 points. I saw a graphic on another broadcast or on something. They're 3 points behind. That's like 16 games, I think it is, Rob. 16 Premier League games. They're 3 points behind City. Chelsea, right there, since he's been there. Now, I see an improving team. I see a tremendously strong foundation. I see maybe the ability to go and buy somebody in the summer, a big striker potentially. I just think they are looking really, really great. And Man United, with the Cavani thing, I'm saying this as well, based on Cavani, I don't know whether he's going to stay. So yeah, I'm kind of assuming he's
about working with him last year. He dropped something, Ollie, and it wasn't picked up by a reporter, but he talked about working. And he said something after, as he finished, said, yeah, it's great working with him and look forward to working with him next year. He just dropped that one out. And I thought,
did he? That Cavani's thinking about staying.
Yeah.
So that makes a difference, like, to what I've just said. I'm kind of assuming he's not going to stay. I've got to say, though, Rob, on a side note before we move on, and we've talked a while for this game as well.
Yeah.
The old Harry Kane to Man United thing seems to be warm. And with with Joel Glazer's letter, and like, I feel like if they're going to splash out and try and get on the fans' side, this summer might be the time to do it.
Nice.
And Harry Kane would be the perfect player to bring into a football club. Absolutely,
correct.
Rob. So that might, you know, if that happens, then we're having a new conversation. We're having a new conversation.
Game changer. Plug in, goals done. I mean, just before we move on, we have to move on. Just want to mention the injury to Harry Maguire as well, mate. That could be one. You know, he's gone down, he's limped off. I mean, he's played every minute of every Premier League game since he's been at United. Doesn't obviously come off unless it's something serious. So we'll have to see over the next few days. Obviously, game against Tuesday game, Thursday game against Liverpool, Europa League final to come up. They could ill afford losing Harry Maguire in the form he's in, because Lindelof and Bailly is not as good as Maguire with either one of those two. And that would be a bit of an issue for him. So we'll have to see how that one goes out from a medical point of view. Manchester United in good shape, coming from a goal down again to win and keeping pressure on Man City, even if it is only just to delay them picking up the title.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Let's look at some of the other top four results, my friend. Leicester City. Leicester City. Our Brendan Rodgers and one of our favourite teams in terms of what they do, in terms of the young players, in terms of the recruitment and the style of football. Starting to go wrong again, Rob, at the wrong time of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I was and still am so strong on Leicester and those young players and players getting fit again and go on then and Iheanacho scoring goals and, you know, where Vardy's gone a little quiet. I mean, a stunning result, 4-2 at home against Newcastle United. I haven't got my notes here, mate. I don't know where they've gone. I've got millions of bits of paper here. But I don't need any notes. No. Yeah, I mean, wow. The remaining games we all know are very difficult. I think if they get one more win, I still think they're going to be I think they'll do it and have enough points for that. It's tremendous. We've got a great race now, mate, haven't we? To the end of the season,
63 points, aren't they? But if like Liverpool win the game in hand, Liverpool go to 60 points. You know, three games, and Leicester got a really tough run in. They go Manchester United on Tuesday. I think they got Chelsea. They've got. You got Villa, Chelsea.
Hang on, Tottenham. Let me have a look.
You got Tottenham. You got Chelsea.
You got United, Chelsea.
Chelsea and Tottenham. And Tottenham.
Is it the last game? Yeah, Tottenham are a basket case, mate.
Well, we don't know what shape they'll be in, or who'll be there, or who'll be leaving, or who'll be.
I still think they might do it, Rob. I think you think about Tuesday's game away at Manchester United.
Yeah, United be strong for that one.
No.
Well, having said that, I had this discussion with Tim. A Man United not being at full strength is still probably on par with the bottom half of the Premier League.
It is, but just back on Liverpool's possibility, because they're in a strong possibility we just talked about. United will be very strong against Liverpool on Thursday, and much changed against Leicester. That really helps Leicester. So again, Spurs, between that and Spurs in the last game of the season, I think Leicester will do it because they can really hurt Liverpool on Thursday. You know, protest, tension around the game, strong team. Maguire is really interesting, and Liverpool got their victory. This week's going to be fascinating now as we draw to the end of the season with this top four race. But Leicester City, I'm still not losing faith, Rob. And I've gone back and forward with them throughout the season, by the way. I didn't think they were going to do it early on. And then I put them in, and I think they're going to make it. Do you think they might? I mean, is this a deja vu of last season?
No, I'm with you. I believe in Brendan. I believe in the players. I'd rather have the points than the opportunity to close the gap. And I think they will. I think Tuesday's huge because of United, obviously, a couple of days after playing, what kind of side we'll put out. And actually, we've got our odds from our partners, PointsBet Sportsbook, who looked at this game. It's on Tuesday, 12 p.m. Eastern time on NBCSN. And they have Manchester United at favourites at plus 150. Leicester, not too much. Decent odds at plus 185. And they got the draw at plus 215. So, Manchester United... slight favours, but there's not that much in it between them and Leicester. Obviously, I think people wonder about the games and the type of team United have put out. The draw at plus 215 might not be bad. Might not be a bad bet.
Yeah, I think it should be tight. I think Leicester got a chance away from home, open spaces. Leicester have been better. They can play counter attack. You know, United at home haven't been always that great. No, I think Leicester can do something. I think Leicester can do something given the weakened team I think we're going to see.
Plus 185. They need a result, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'd be putting my couple of dollars if I was going to do that. It's a little bit more value for Leicester City.
Okay, let's move on to Liverpool. Liverpool face Southampton. Almost, I said on the other day, I think Liverpool almost going to have to win out. I think 69 points that would take them if they're going to have a chance of top four. Started with a game against Southampton. Let's remember Southampton beat the 1-0, the famous Ralph Hasenhüttl dropping to to his knees in the reverse game at St Mary's. But Liverpool eventually got the job done, Mane, with his ninth Premier League goal of the season. He needed that. And Thiago with his first Premier League goal. I think we've been waiting for a moment like that from him. Liverpool kind of got the job done, mate. It wasn't probably as comfortable as Jurgen Klopp would have liked, but needed the goalkeeper actually come up with a couple of big moments and had one or two sort of scares at the back. But they got the job done. They got the point. I think that's the most important thing at the moment. And Jurgen Klopp's been saying, you know, if we've got to win some games, we've got to be good enough if we're going to make these Champions League spots.
I don't think they're going to find. I don't think they're going to find all the wins, Rob. They're not going to get. They're not going to win all the games. Alisson made six saves, Rob.
Yeah.
And some of those were pretty big saves. Mm. Defensively, I still would worry that they're going to concede. This game was better for them, of course. They got the second goal, Rob. At 1-0. Didn't it look a little nervy again for Liverpool? Like, we've been here before. We haven't killed teams off and we've been a little shaky defensively. This time they came through it. But to win every single game from here on in, I think it's going to be difficult. And I know it doesn't look too difficult. United is going to be a very hard game. If Phillips and Williams are going to play at centre back for Liverpool, you know, against a strong Man United frontline, Rob,
looking at Cavani and Greenwood, and I mean, it's interesting. Phillips and Williams with the partnership again. I don't know what they're doing in training. Kabak apparently has got injured now. Ben Davies is injured, added to the other players. That's why they weren't involved. I mean, it's quite ridiculous. Ridiculous at the moment in terms of defenders. So, yeah, they might have to go with the young kids and hope that Fabinho or if Milner comes in and Wijnaldum can give them a little bit of a shield in front of them. But almost after going to have to win out, I think, Liverpool, if they're going to have a chance and, you know, not having European football. And then you also think, Rob, do they want to drop into Europa League football? You know, Thursday night, you know, we're trying to get back to winning titles and competing at the top of the table. That's going to be an interesting one. From their point of view, Spurs travelled to Leeds, my friend. Thought this might be an interesting game. It wasn't the Jose Mourinho where he's going to bunker down and Bielsa's team are going to go at them. It was Ryan Mason. He played an attacking lineup. He had Son, Dele, Gareth Bale, and Harry Kane as a front four, the Salso and Højbjerg in front of him. So it's a pretty attacking lineup, Rob. Yeah. But I just thought one of those days where Leeds were at it.
Yeah.
Had too much intensity, had too much energy, had too much running power. The wide players in particular, Rob, I saw Ryan Mason's probably set to them now and then. You know, you stay a bit higher now. You don't have to come as deep. So Alioski came and Aileen came and they kind of run them ragged in those wide areas.
Yeah, it was a bad matchup for Spurs. Without a manager, kind of ruddle us a little bit at the moment. And fair play to Ryan Mason. He's playing the attacking players. We all want to see that. And they've made some... They've made performances and they've scored a lot of goals. But against Leeds that were up for it, I was really disappointed with Leeds against Brighton last weekend.
Yeah.
But back at it, running as quick and as long and as constantly as they did. And Spurs just didn't really want to do it, Rob. Deserved victory. Yeah. Much better team on the day. Hugo Lloris continued to make saves throughout the game, Rob, whereas Leeds piled forward. And it just didn't look... interested, Spurs. They're drifting, mate. They're drifting, aren't they? They're drifting to the end of the season. And Eric Dier, he is not up to the level required in the Premier League for a big club for a centre-back. He's just not. He's a ball watcher. He's a ball watcher. And I can't remember which goal it was now. Was it Rodrigo's goal?
It was the Bamford goal. Yeah, when Alioski runs on the outside and he just nips in across him. Yeah,
if we were so inclined, I could go back and look at all the loads of Spurs goals conceded and you'd see the same thing, Rob, as Dier kind of, he's like
fixed,
this.
Transfixed.
He's fixed. He's transfixed with the ball. He's not a mover. He doesn't move around. He's not a John Terry. He's not a John Terry where they move into, he doesn't read danger. He's just transfixed. He's ball watching. He's not good enough as a centre-back. I know he wants to be a centre-back. And everybody, and he looks and feels like a centre back. He's commanding and he's a good talker. But nuts and bolts of it, I'd love to break down a ton of goals and I could run a clip. And I don't want to do that because it's not really fair. I just think it was there to see that they've got to get better probably throughout their back four, Spurs, to go forward.
It's not a back four that I naturally trust, Rob, when I look at it. No. And that's what I said. And you know, from a base of having all that attacking talent up front, they're going to have to do some work. And somebody's going to have to get hold of that football club, Rob, because it's in a really interesting space. You know, if Bale goes, if Kane is with the talk, is that, you know, he may end up wanting to go and win trophies. Is Son going to be happy staying there on top of that? You know, you then look at the back line, you know, goalkeeper who's aging, who's decent but aging. I mean, this needs a strong manager. This needs a strong focus and a bit of strategy of how this club are going to go forward. So, interesting summer, I think, definitely coming up for Spurs. The last game of top four was West Ham and Everton. A little bit disappointing for David Moyes against his former team. I think we've come to expect a certain level of consistency, a certain level of performance. Just never quite felt the spark was there for West Ham today. Didn't quite get going in the manner that we've seen. Lanzini couldn't dominate the game as he did last time out. I think it was against Burnley. Suchek is hamstrung when he can't really run forward. So you lose a little bit of what he just gives you in that sort of energy and threat coming from deep. And yeah, I just thought it was a day when we didn't really see the best of David Moyes' team. And fair play to Everton. Yeah. Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin were a handful and eventually found the goal.
I thought that was a difference, Rob. I thought two strikers compared to the one striker of West Ham were the difference. And Calvert-Lewin's goal, really nice movement. Two strikers, one comes a little deeper. Is Ben Godfrey, wasn't it? It was Godfrey with the really nice,
with the pass,
nice assisting ball. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a little bit old school. It's first striker goes short. The other makes a run in the space behind him. The ball was there and it's a really nice finish. It was just, I thought Everton were really good, mate. I thought Everton were really good. It's so interesting watching Everton because we watch them like nearly every game at the moment. Yeah. They're so different home and away. Of course, the results will tell you that, you know, obviously. But watching them, there's more, I don't know, they're a different side. Away from home, mate, 11 wins away from home. Only Manchester City have more with 13. Yeah. I mean, it's been such a strange season, but I really like them. When Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin playing close to each other, and it was a bit of a weird system going on with the way that they did it. It was kind of a 4-4-2, and then into a 3. Yeah, which is what Ancelotti's done before, and it's great. I just really liked Everton. Now with the game in hand, they can go level on points with West Ham. So as amazingly as West Ham have done now, I think that makes it too tough. It makes it too tough for West Ham to finish in the top four now, given, you know, and I think it does come down to, I think we spoke about this, I think it comes down to Leicester or Liverpool. And that's what we've talked about, and we will see. I think Chelsea, with their result, is, you know, that's great for them. And I think West Ham, and we'll talk at length about West Ham and how they've done it, because it's a phenomenal job that David Moyes has done there. Yeah. I just think that loss is just like, wow, that makes it difficult now, Rob, to come back and to go again to finish in the top four.
Yeah, top four might be out, but certainly European football, Europa League would still be a massive boost for a club who...
Both those teams
kind of looking for a similar spot. Yeah, you're right. Just time to talk a bit about Arsenal-West Brom, mate. This was a game with MS Arsenal, obviously after being dumped out of the Europa League by their former manager in Villarreal. West Bromwich Albion needing to win to make sure they stay, you know, have a chance of staying in the Premier League. Thought West Brom started the game well, and then once Arsenal scored, pretty much took over. And I'm afraid, my friend, West Brom are now officially relegated from the Premier League. Sam Allardyce has had his first ever team relegated. Big Sam, no more in the Premier League. Yeah. Was this squad just really not good enough, Rob, when you look at it, what he took over?
Well, I mean, it was almost two teams, wasn't it? Slaven Bilic's team that came in and was built to be more expansive and more entertaining. It certainly wasn't the Championship. Obviously struggled, and Big Sam came in plenty of time at his transfer window, and he improved the team, Rob, with some signings. Yeah. It just took a long time, and I remember saying he's going to run out of time with this team. You know, there was a thought when he took over, Rob, wasn't there, that you know, Big Sam's arrived, everything's going to be okay. Yeah. Everything's a case by case situation, and this team that had been newly promoted was different to what he normally works with, and I think. You know, I think some of the football that they played and the work that he did with the team, I think a lot of the Baggies fans were like, actually, I think he's doing all right.
Yeah.
What I will carry on to say, and his interview was funny afterwards, Robert, he didn't really know what to say, did he? Because he's never I think once with Notts County, I think way back.
Yeah.
He didn't really know what to say about his future or how he felt about relegation, so that hadn't really sunk in. All I would add, I know, I think you guys in the studio had a little chat about it. If I'm the owner of West Brom, I'm absolutely asking him to stay on.
Yeah, me too. Without a doubt. And would hope. I got this sense after the game, Rob, that if asked, he'd take it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like he was looking like he'd done anything. Yeah. I get the sense. And maybe that's only because I don't see him getting another Premier League job, Rob.
Right.
I think that time of him going and getting a job, the fireman that keeps you up, is gone. Yeah. Different era, different kind of coaching. I think if he brings somebody up, he has a chance of staying there and keeping them up. And I 100% with what you say. But it was also interesting in what he said after the game, Rob. He said, well, there's some things that need to be worked out, like the finance, how much you'll have to spend, what will be available. Because I think if he is going to go, again, he'll want some assurances of what he can do and what he can bring in.
Yeah, or who they don't have to sell. Of course, there's parachute payments, I believe, still, from the Premier League, which keeps the players, keeps the club.
The first year is really high. It's like it's a big lump of it. Then it goes half, and it goes half again.
Yeah. So I just think, like, I agree with you, tough to get another Premier League job. So Championship, okay, well, how about the team that you know pretty well that will have a great chance, like we've seen of Watford and Norwich, are coming straight back up again. And next time, Rob, I bet he would keep him up. I bet, he would have a great chance of keeping him up because he does know what it takes. Give him a whole season or two seasons if he goes straight back up. I think that would be the sensible play. Now, we don't know whether the club's appetite for that or Sam Allardyce's appetite for that. Maybe, and I think the contract, I think I read something, Rob, saying that at the end of the season, we can sit down and we both got options. If I don't want to continue or they don't want to continue, we don't have to. So we will see.
Just let me talk a couple of names just before you go, because obviously Big Sam is a big name and a big personality in the game. But just if the ownership group look at it and go, Eddie Howe, Frank Lampard, Chris Wilder, good reputations at varying levels, at various stages, playing various ways of football. There is some not bad options out there for a club like West Bromwich Albion.
It's a great point. It's a great point. And as you're reading them off, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, he'd be good. And so, yeah, there are some good options. And you know, it's a big decision, again, for West Brom. This whole yo-yo thing, and do they stick with the same philosophy like Norwich, or do they – I don't know. But you make a good point there, mate. There are some good options out there. I keep talking to Steven Gerrard as well a little bit from Rangers.
Yeah.
Now, he won't go to West Brom.
No.
But some from Rangers. But somebody else that if I'm a director of football in the Premier League, you know, he's on my radar, Gerrard, because he's done a brilliant job at Glasgow Rangers. Just on following on, Robin, in terms of some of their players. Now, there's a player that I think we both know, everybody realises is such a talent, is Matias Pereira. He's 25 years of age. I think he's got 10 Premier League goals, 5 assists in 20, maybe 27, 28 games.
Yeah.
He is a little talent, my friend. Yeah. He goes, doesn't he? And if so, where could he go?
He goes. He could go to Everton.
Arsenal.
He could go to, possibly Arsenal. With Saka, with Smith Rowe, I don't know if he's going to block a hole there. Maybe he could go to Crystal Palace. If the Will thing's enough and you have to move Wolf, he could go into Crystal Palace and be a good, excellent wide player for them. He could go to Brighton under Graham Potter and improve and go next level. Might not think he's a big enough step up, but I think he's football. To Southampton, he could go improve them. To Newcastle. I mean, I think there's plenty of takers out there for him, mate.
I think he's better than that, Rob. I think he's better than that. I think you can jump up another level. I think you can jump him up another level. I think he's top 10 player.
You know? But, you know, some of those teams are going to be ambitious and want to go next step, and they're going to need those kind of players. I'm not sure he'd get into – would he get in your Leicester team?
Yeah.
Would he?
I think he's a proper talent, Rob. He's the only thing, and it will be the same with – I'm sure – I don't know how athletic he is. I'd have to get the numbers of his, because if you have him, does he have to be a bit of a luxury player?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to put him in a spot where you have to, and a lot of these teams don't want that nowadays.
No, but you can't have, very few teams can carry luxury players in the way you used to. Like, we'll all work and you just do your thing. And I know what you're saying, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see his athletic numbers. I really like him. I think he's saying, there's a little level maybe to go, but let's maybe just two more results, and we're going to include our underappreciated players of the week in this. I'm going to go for the Wolves 2-1 win against Brighton, which was a bit annoying, I would have thought, for Graham Potter, because his team can't quite get it done and make sure they're safe. But Wolves were 1-0 down, Robbie Musto, to a dunk goal, and then dunk gets sent off. But Noma Traore came onto the game as a substitute and changed the game for Wolverhampton Wanderers. And is a player, Rob, who everybody keeps telling you what he can't do and why he doesn't play, and if he did this, he'd be the top six player, and blah 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 blah. But sometimes just think he is who he is, and maybe, yeah, he hasn't quite got that final pass that, you know, the very best players have got, but he's got a lot of great attributes, and in my Wolves team, he's almost my Timo Werner. I think you're playing Rob to keep people honest, to give space, to make runs, so every now and then, yeah, you'll pull your hair out. But I think we don't appreciate him enough. I think he's one of those players who we all like to tell Shay what he's not doing and not what he does do well. And he's a threat in his physicality and his speed and his skill and his score goals. And I think if you can work with him and mould him into your team, I think he's an asset that's important to a team like Wolves, who've missed Jimenez and missed a little bit of threat at the top end of the pitch.
Yeah, I think a lot of players fall into that category, Rob, of being talented, be able to do great things, but struggle to do it consistently. Yeah. You know, if he could work with a coach somehow, and he's got a great coach in Nuno Espirito Santo, just be more consistent, Rob, with production, then absolutely right. And but you also, it's kind of interesting comment about, you know, we do with players a lot talk about what they can't do, you know, instead of what they're actually really, really great at. So my underappreciated is a different game. Sheffield United 0, Crystal Palace 2. My underappreciated player, performer, Abarache Eze. New signing for Crystal Palace. And I try and pick a player that, obviously underappreciated, but has got more talent than people realise. And, the two players we've picked out, Rob, are, you know, not in any of the bigger games this week, but they're still players to watch. He's 22 years of age, Eze. 32 appearances, 4 goals, 5 assists. Now, you come in from the Championship into the Premier League with a team, a Roy Hodgson team, that's very structured, very structured, very defensively minded initially. And you produce those numbers with the swagger and the confidence in the way that he played today and setting up the goals. I just think he's a talent that is a little underappreciated. And next season, he's playing in this midfield role, which is like, wow, that's kind of different. You know, one of the number eights, if you like, either side of it, Milivojevic is the holding player. And he's one of those guys more involved in the game, in the centre of it, can run with the ball from that area, can make through passes, can score himself. I just think he's a little under the radar. 22 years of age, Rob, there's a big upside. And we know that Wilf Zaha grabs the headlines at Crystal Palace, and rightly so, a brilliant talent. But Abarache Eze is not far behind him, mate. And he's one for the Palace fans to enjoy and hope that he fulfills a potential that could be pretty special at Palace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good shout out. And I remember some of my friends who in the game in England, scouts, were telling me about Eze at Queen's Park Rangers. One of them that was on the radar, and they were saying, you know, the right move up, he's going to be a talent. And I think we're just starting to see some of that. He might, you know, this season will do him good. I think next season it'll be even better. And a little bit of credit, Robert, just on that. And I was thinking about this today, to Roy Hodgson, by the way, because he's slightly, without any big news, changed his system a little bit, got a little bit more out, changed the way they've played and gone a little bit too underneath a striker. And he's just given them a little bit of a different look and different edge. And, you know, we think of Roy and setting his ways and a little bit older and that. And he's just a little bit creative thought. It's got a bit more out of Eze. And so it's a really good shout. Good underappreciated performance of the week for Eze against Sheffield United. And, I'm sure there's more to come. Listen, mate, it's been an action-packed Premier League Week 35. Manchester City lost to Chelsea for the second time this season, once in the league, once in the cup, which means we're going to be in for an interesting Champions League final. At the bottom of the table, the great escape for Big Sam and the Baggies, I'm afraid, ended in defeat. Finally, Sam's Premier League team relegated as West Brom head to the Championship. We'll be back in a few days. We've got a real busy week of Premier League football, so we'll report back to you towards the end of this week. But for now, I'm out. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thank you for watching and listening. Stay safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.